Welcome to the Bedford First Assembly Podcast. We hope you enjoy this message by Pastor Bill McKee. We're always encouraged to know what God is doing through this ministry to transform lives. If you have a story to share of how God is working in your life, please let us know by sending an email to connect@bedfordfirstag.org. For more information about Bedford First Assembly and to watch the live stream of our services, visit www.bedfordfirstag.org.
Now, I'm going to preach something to you this morning that I haven't fully gotten under control. I'm being honest. I'm with the Apostle Paul. He says, not that I have already attained, but I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I'm pressing toward the mark of this message this morning. Now, you can take that as an excuse to not try, or you can take that and join the journey with me. Our theme for 2019 is to rejoice. Yes. To rejoice. Now, I can't explain to you the mantle of pastoral ministry. I can't even begin to pull back the curtain and cause you to see that. But we have about 11 people in our congregation that are going through extreme circumstances in their lives. And 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, if I'm here or if I'm gone, those folks, the burden of their what's going on in their lives is with me constantly. If something startles me in the middle of the night and I wake up, there's always one of them, if not more of them, that come flooding to me, and the Lord and I talk about them. And so it's very, very difficult in the shadow of death to rejoice. But the Lord says, rejoice. I have 10 words for you from Philippians, the fourth chapter, the fourth verse. And those 10 words are going to be our platform for today. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. Father in heaven, by your Holy Spirit, you have set us on a course. You have placed deeply into my heart many months before today that we are to rejoice. My heart wants to wail. My heart wants to grieve. But you have said rejoice. I pray the Holy Spirit this morning that you would speak to all of us in this house and train us in a new way of living. We're not deserving of that kind of attention, but we understand you are a God of grace and mercy. So we ask you this morning that you would help us as we study your word. In Jesus' name, amen. The word rejoice, kero, means to be glad, to rejoice, simple. In our passage, it's used as a greeting, which literally means joy to you. This word is actually used in other places and is translated as hail. When they said, "Hail, King of the Jews," in mockery to Jesus, it's the word that was used in the original language. When the angel of the Lord greeted Mary and said, "Greetings, the Lord is with you," he used this word. Rejoice, the Lord is with you. There's some good counsel. Rejoice, the Lord is with you. Scripture says, "Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." Rejoice, rejoice, rejoice. Charles Spurgeon, called the Prince of Preachers, preached a couple of centuries ago. When he preached this, he preached under the title of "Joy, a Duty." He wrote these words: "There is a marvelous medicinal power in joy. Most medicines are distasteful, but this, which is the best of medicines, is sweet to the taste and comforting to the heart." I like the sense of that, that what the Lord is wanting to do is to pour in medicine into our circumstances. And he involves us in the process. Do you want to continue to suffer? Do you want to continue to think about how difficult things are? Do you want to continue on the course that you're on of crying, boo-hooing, of telling people how bad everything is? That is your privilege. But if you would like the medicine from above, he has poured it out and said, "Rejoice." Today we're going to examine this command in keeping with God's desire for us as a church family in 2019. And I offer to you what the Lord has given to me in anticipation of the year ahead. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Lord, help us. You see, this rejoice thing is sincere expectation. When we look at the conditions of our world and of our country, we look around us, we see runaway competition between countries and between men. Do you realize never before, since the founding of the stock market, have there been the kind of ups and downs, changes that have occurred in single days that we have seen just in the past week? You say, "Well, I don't follow the stock market." Well, that's fine. But I want you to know that it's happening. Catastrophic changes, drops of 800 points, and then resurgence of 600 points. It's unbelievable. Things are happening that even the scholars cannot explain. Leaders of nations that are under the influence of darkness, that are doing who knows what. The volatility that exists in governments and in leadership today, unbelievable. Now, you say, "Well, boy, you're not giving us much fuel to rejoice about." Hey, the Lord is aware of all these things. And he's calling upon us to rejoice in a sense of expectation, not of what we see, but of who he is. Now, here's the question we have to ask ourselves. Where is my hope? Is my hope in what our country can produce? Is my hope in what I can produce? Are we trying to solve problems that are above our pay grade? Consider this. Philippians chapter 3, verse 20 says, our citizenship is in heaven. And we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. I'm going to read it one more time because, see, that is more our reality than everything that is going on around us. If we know the Lord, how many of you in here know the Lord? Now, I must make this distinction this morning, but if you do not, and if you are not walking with the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord of your life, then there is a difference. But if the Lord Jesus has saved you and come into your life and redeemed you and made you a new creation in his and by his power, then there is a difference. Now, the Apostle Paul was talking to the Philippian church. He was talking to the redeemed. He did not stand out on Mars Hill. He did not stand out someplace else and proclaim, rejoice in the Lord always, because the world does not know the Lord to rejoice in him. Okay, so let's make that distinction. But if you know the Lord, then this verse belongs to you. Our citizenship is in heaven. And we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control will transform our lowly bodies, our sick bodies, those broken bodies, so that they will be like his glorious body. Friend, God has an appointment for you, brother. That thing in the aisle is not going to be needed anymore. He's going to change your body into the likeness of his glorious body. Jan? Now see, if our hope, it gets set in these bodies, it'll go up and down and in and out and probably to a level of great discouragement. But if we reckon with the fact that our citizenship is not just a citizen, we're not just citizens of the United States of America, we are citizens of heaven. And that is our home. Here, we're just passing through. Maybe for a day, maybe for a week, maybe for years, maybe for 80 years. But it's just a short journey. Our citizenship is in heaven. Now listen to this, Philippians 4, 1. Therefore, my brothers, you whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, that is how you should stand firm in the Lord. How? In the reality that this is not our home. In the reality that Jesus already has plans for our bodies, and it's not just to fix what is broken. He's going to give us a new body. Praise the Lord. I hope some of you guys are better looking in the next round. Listen to this. Psalm 105:3 says, glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Let there be a difference. Let there be a difference in those who seek the Lord, in those who belong to the Lord. Let there be a difference. It's not going to be that we don't get discouraged. It's not going to be that we don't get distressed. It's not going to be that we don't have pain. It's not going to be that the problems of this world do not heap in upon our shoulders. But he says, in response to those things, realize who you are and realize what God is doing in you. He's leading you on glorious procession heavenward. And he has a brand new body planned for you. Psalm 119:62, psalmist says, I rejoice in your promise like one who finds great spoil. You see, this is it. This is the key. We're not going to change the circumstances. We can pray till we're purple. And we will not change all of the difficult circumstances in this world. What we've got to do is begin to believe and hope in what God has given us to believe in and to hope in. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. Saved from what? Saved out of the mess that this world is in. Saved out of the poverty of your sin. Saved out of lostness and hopelessness. And a glorious hope in the Lord Jesus. This rejoicing is based on more than what we can see today. The Apostle Paul says in the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians, he says, if there is no resurrection from the dead, then we are the most pitiful people in the world. Everything that we believe, every hope that we have is based in the reality, can I say it in that way? The reality that the Lord Jesus Christ is coming back and is going to transform each and every one of us into his likeness. It's easy for us to get our hopes set that he is going to take away every pain, every discomfort, every sorrow, every struggle. I told you of my journey of 15 years with Meniere's, dizzy almost all of the time, and then many times to the point where I was falling down onto the floor, could not move or else I threw up. Some of you have had those dizzy spells. I got to enjoy it for 15 years and praying constantly, Lord, take this from me. I mean, I have to admit to you, I prayed prayers like, Lord, if you really love me. Huh? His grace is sufficient. His power is made perfect in weakness. Took me 15 years to learn that lesson. Some of the lessons that we learn in the Lord come easy. Some of them come difficult. Hello? I know I'm getting really plain this morning, but it's true. See, my prayer was for healing in that one circumstance. The Lord's desire was to change me into his likeness, a part of me. Still working on the rest. The duty of rejoicing is a delightful thing. Hard sometimes, but a delightful thing. It is a demonstrative thing. You really can't rejoice without getting into it. Can I tell you? You know, the reason why I said what I said a few minutes ago about at least read the words, even if you're not a singer, is because you see, you cannot participate in the worship of the Lord through song unless your lips move. So, well, I was thinking the words. No, worship, like rejoicing, is a demonstrative thing. You got to get involved. But when you do, you will find that all of a sudden, the power of God flowing in you actually will enable you to do things you didn't know you could do. Some of you, the Lord wants to give you a voice. And it may not be a voice that everybody else wants to hear, but he wants to hear it. He'd love to hear you sing. He'd love to hear you make these proclamations, holy, holy, holy is the Lord. See, our rejoicing falls into that category. It's a demonstrative thing. He doesn't just say, have joy down in your heart. He says, rejoice. And the difference between joy down in your heart and rejoicing is that you've got to let that sucker out. Huh? He says, I know you've got joy down in you because I've put it in you. But now I want you to get it out. It's a contagious thing. Huh? Now tell me, you see, people are in your office or in your place of work, and people are gathered around a phone or gathered around a computer or something or other, and they're watching something, and they're just tipping their heads back and laughing like crazy. Tell me that you're not wondering. I wonder what they're looking at. Now, you may have a bit of caution because you don't know whether it's a clean thing or a dirty thing. But, you know, you get that qualifier. Is that something I'd want to see? Yeah, come on over. And you come on over. Why? Because laughter and joy and rejoicing is contagious. Because, you see, we're living in a world. They all know that we're hurting, whether we will acknowledge it into this room or not. Things are a mess. You say, well, no, the economy is better than it's always been. Everybody knows that we're like balancing on the head of a needle. Everybody's aware of that. Very thankful for the current situation, but totally aware that it could change in a heartbeat. Rejoicing is an influence for good and a catalyst for change. Rejoicing is commanded, but it's easily forgotten. See, I'm very aware that this message here this morning will be lucky to make it out of this room. It's true. Because you see, before you get out of this room, the realities of your life will begin to pour in to your mind and into your heart, and they will begin to push out, starve out, quench whatever the Spirit is trying to do in you right now. Once again, rejoice is sincere expectation. Secondly, this morning, look at the object that is in this sentence. Now, I'm going to give you a little bit of a grammar lesson for those of you, and I know you came to church for this. He said, he woke up this morning and said, I hope we get a little grammar during the morning message. But it's kind of important. Grammatically, this rejoice in the Lord is really quite important. Rejoice is the verb. It's called an action verb. Okay? Let's just go ahead and say that. Everybody say action verb. All right, rejoice is an action verb. In is a preposition. A preposition, I'll actually read you the definition. A preposition is a word used to show the relation of a noun or pronoun to some other word in the sentence. A preposition is always in a sentence. Every preposition needs a noun and links it to another word in the sentence. In the Lord. In the Lord. Links the Lord to the rejoicing. Okay? So that little two-letter word, in, stands there and hangs on to rejoice and hangs on to the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. It could also say another preposition, for. Rejoice for the Lord. If I had time this morning, I could give you scriptures for every one of these because it's all throughout the Bible. You will have for the Lord, through the Lord, by the Lord, with the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice by the Lord. Rejoice through the Lord. Rejoice with the Lord. Do you realize that there are times that our Lord is rejoicing? And you and I have the opportunity to step into that? In conducting, and let me put it in this way, in conducting the sentence of our lives, and if you haven't figured this out yet, our life is little more than a sentence. in conducting the sentence of our lives in the right manner, we will find it much easier to rejoice when that prepositional phrase, in the Lord, for the Lord, by the Lord, with the Lord, is part of our sentence. It's very difficult to rejoice for cancer. It's very difficult to rejoice with Alzheimer's. It's very hard to rejoice. Fill in the blank. In all the things that want to crowd into our lives and dominate our lives. Let me just ask you very quickly, how many of you have something in your life that's dominating your life right now? Come on, you know if you do. Let me see your hands. Hold them up so everybody can see. Yeah, if the rest of you don't, just hang on a little bit. I'm sorry, but that's life. It'll either be in you or it'll be in somebody that you love and care about. Alita and Greg, I think both of you are pretty healthy. You guys both do pretty good. But every other day, your daughter's in the hospital. So it dominates their lives. You need to know we as a church family, we're walking with you through that. You know? Huh? Pancreatitis and cancer in the Adams family. Kenny, back here. Not here this morning. He's in the VA hospital. Cancer's in the liver. Cancer's throughout his body. Very hard to put that prepositional phrase into our sentence and not let it dominate us. But we need to put the little phrase in the Lord, with the Lord, for the Lord, by the Lord. There's the rejoicing. It's not in the problem. It's not in the struggle. It's not in the difficulty. The object of our rejoicing is in that little prepositional phrase, in the Lord. Lord, I don't understand, but I am going to rejoice in you because you are able. You are able. And you have a plan. You have a purpose. You are able. Whenever I cease to believe that, I'll be done here. I'm not going to stand in another pulpit if I do not believe that in the Lord is more powerful than in cancer. More to be said. Rejoice in spite of the present circumstance. That's the word always. Always. But pastor, yeah, I know. Always. Can I tell you this morning that this word is the one that I'm struggling over? I can even tell you that most always I can rejoice in the Lord. Most of the time, I can dig down and find that. Get my mind off of the circumstance and onto the Lord. But he says, always. Is it okay if I'm this honest with you this morning? It may be troubling. You think, oh my goodness. I'm tired of preachers standing in pulpits and over the airways and everything else, telling people that they cannot live themselves. I'm done with it. You see, our lives in this world are affected by how we feel, what we think, who has done what to us. You need to look at the context of this. In the context of this, rejoice in the Lord. First of all, let me tell you, the guy who's speaking is in prison. In shackles. He's the one saying it. So that colors it to begin with. And then he just finishes speaking. If you jump back a little bit, in verse number 2, he says, I plead with Euodia and I plead with Synecdoche to be of the same mind in the Lord. Yes, I ask you, my true companion, help these women since they have contended at my side in the cause of the gospel, along with Clement and the rest of my co-workers whose names are in the book of life. These two ladies were bringing conflict into the church. And as a result of that, he says, come on, gals. Let's get with what is important. Rejoice in the Lord always. These other things that we can reach out and grab a hold of that seem to be so very important in our lives. He said they're nothing compared to in the Lord. They're nothing compared to what God is going to do. Our citizenship is in heaven. You say, well, this is not a perfect church. You're right, 100%. You're right, this isn't a perfect church. I'm going to a perfect heaven. And I'm doing everything in my power to preach and teach and love and carry on over your lives to help you get to heaven as well. Our life in Christ should affect the things that affect us. Let me say that one more time. I said, our life in Christ should affect the things that affect us. Now, when you're knocked upside the head by some doctor or some circumstance, and you know they give you the diagnosis, don't be hard on yourself that it takes you a few moments to get your spiritual legs back underneath you. Because I can take you to the Old Testament, and when they came and they approached the prophet, Elijah, and they wanted an answer out of him, he said, hold on a minute. And he called in somebody to come in and start singing. Begin to worship the Lord. In other words, he had to get out his mind, his heart, and everything out of the world and get it into the presence of God, because there was the answer that they were looking for. I'm telling you, when somebody hits you upside the head or a circumstance knocks you off of your feet, find yourself a place in the presence of the Lord. Get in the Lord, because in the Lord is your hope. In the Lord is the answer to your circumstance. He will not always deliver you from the circumstance. Sometimes he will make a better you through the circumstance. Our life in Christ should affect the things that affect us. What difference does knowing the Lord have in your life? Well, I'm going to heaven. That's good. But he wants more. He wants to get in between you and that catastrophic circumstance that you're going through. He wants his power, his love, his joy, his hope to get down inside of you. Now, when a child is hurt, they run to the parent that they know will take interest in their pain and sorrow. Now, since I'm confessing this morning, let me tell you about me as a parent. My boys, when they were little, and they would crash, little boys crash. Sometimes there's a bike involved, other times it's just them, you know, but little boys crash. So when they would crash, and if I happened to be the first one that they came to, and Sharon can echo this testimony, I would say to them, well, did you hurt the ground? Or if they ran into some object, we would go very quickly. I would take them and let's go look and see if you did damage to it. My theory was that if you could get their minds off of the little scrape or whatever, the quicker you could do that, then the quicker that the problem was settled. That makes sense, doesn't it? Guys? Now, if they wanted sympathy, they would run right around me. Mom. Huh? Now, I realized that sometimes we as human beings We just want to wallow in our pain. We just want everybody to know how bad off we are. So if that's you, then what I'm preaching this morning is not for you. But when you are ready to get over sympathy, and you are ready to move on forward, then find in the Lord and begin to rejoice. Rejoice if you need to. Lord, this isn't my final stop. The answer to our conflicts is to rejoice in the Lord. The answer to feeling bad is to rejoice in the Lord. The answer to confusion, I'm going to use another word here, but don't misinterpret what I'm saying here. And that's depression. I'm not talking about clinical depression that is brought on by physiological things that happen in our life. But I'm talking about where just the world is closing in around us. That in the Lord, rejoicing in the Lord can bring you out of it. Struggle in relationships. Rejoicing in the Lord can bring you through it. It's surprising how that thing that is so big, that is dividing you from the other person, gets smaller and smaller and smaller as you rejoice in the Lord. Paul says to the church at Rome, chapter 5, verse 3, not only so, but we rejoice in our, are you ready? Sufferings. Because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not disappoint us because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom he has given us. So in other words, that's the transition. The Lord is wanting, as we reckon in him, as we put him in the midst of our circumstance. Yes, this has come upon me, but in the Lord, there's victory. Well, so when should we rejoice? When you cannot rejoice in anything or anyone but God, rejoice. When you have other things to rejoice about, rejoice in the Lord. I said to somebody the other day, I said, you know, this job gets a little bit difficult because, you see, people call me and I want you to call me. And they call me at all different hours. And I want you to call me. When you have a need, I want you to call me. Okay? But hear the rest of this. They never call me to tell me it gets resolved. So I'm walking around for days thinking this thing is still going on. Oh, you know, oh, yeah. I'm so sorry, Pastor. Yeah, I was released that night from... They gave me such and such medicine and everything settled down. And, oh, yeah, I went home that night. I'm like, oh, my goodness. Huh? Rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice and let the Lord rejoice with you in your victories. After all, every good and perfect gift comes from the Father above. So every good thing that has come into your life, rejoice in the Lord. They're the easy ones. And then when the difficult ones come along, it will be more natural for you to rejoice even in the difficult things. It may take you a month or two or some of us a year or two, but then you grow. Here's the conclusion. Yay. Paul ends it with repetition. He says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. Why? Because this is important. And he loved the church. He loved the people in Philippi. He wanted to see them find a new path for the circumstances that they were going through. And I believe that that second clause came out of his present circumstance. Setting damp dungeon, probably no light. If anything, a small candle. Not knowing how long he was going to be in there. Rejoice in the Lord always. Write that down. Write that down. Rejoice in the Lord always. Did you get that down? By the way, tell him again, I said rejoice. Because there's an answer in it. Now see, he lived this. Paul and Silas in the jail, in the midnight hour, singing praise to the Lord. You see, he didn't just write it to the Philippian church. He had to live it. This isn't just something you can run out of here and tell everybody else about. This is something you're going to have to find a place for in your own life. Me too. And I can say to you, he said it a second time because there was an emphasis on the difficulty that this command presents. This isn't easy. Turn to the person next to you and say, it's not easy to rejoice. Come on. It's not. It's easy when everything's going good. How many people that are part of his church family that are not here this morning because something else is the clause in their life? You understand what I'm saying by that? You know, it's the clause, it's the priority, it's the thing that is in, it's the thing that is with, it's the things that is by, it's the thing that it's in the midst of their life that they are concentrating on. So their action verb in their life is a reflection of that negative clause. We need to get that in the Lord into our lives. I can say this with all assurity this morning through the power of the Holy Spirit that many, many, many of us are trying to live without in the Lord in our lives. Now, we want to be in the Lord when we die. But some lie of the enemy tells us if we get that little clause in our life before death that it's going to keep us from enjoying life. Well, if I have in the Lord in my life, if I have that in my life, then I'm not going to be able to do this, this, and this. It's not about that. It's about finding the priority of the Lord in your life and His plan, His purpose, His desire. You can turn to it and rejoice in the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for being with me every single day. I don't want to live a single day without the Lord and His guidance and His direction and His purpose. And He knows how to do this right.